What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you all. It is February 20th, 2024. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing there, Mark?
Good, man. Enjoyed our pre-show talk about our various mental health issues. That was fun. Mm-hmm. So got a good show today. We're talking about the freak out about the Russian space nuke and what it was based on. And it was basically nothing, but it's the fallout from it's deeply funny. And what they're actually fighting over is federal surveillance. So we're going to talk about that. Today, Prince William called for an end to the violence in Gaza, and you never really get to say this being where we're from, but this inbred unemployed guy is right. it's just like the British monarchy has gone woke, Trey. Yeah. Biden, as an Irish anti-monarchist, probably won't listen to him, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, you know, his mamaw and papaw and so on, you know, had a hand to play in this whole situation
caused
to begin with, you know what I mean? But it's like, but there's two ways to look at that. You could look at that as like, oh, so you need to keep your mouth shut. Or you could be like, right. Well, I mean, I guess you are qualified to talk about it if, you know, you're part of the bloodline that, you know, kicked this whole thing off. I guess you have a stake in the thing or whatever. So at least he's saying this and not the opposite.
Yeah, Vox.com had a very long piece today that I urge everyone who's interested in this stuff to read. But basically talking about what a strategic disaster Israel's war in Gaza has been as they gear up for ground invasion that the Biden administration is trying to get them to not do. They say they're trying to get them to not do. But anyway, the estimates are there are going to be 500,000 dead Palestinians within a year from starvation, disease, etc. If nothing changes, and something's got to change here, and the whole gist is like Netanyahu administration has no plan for what to do when the war ends, so they're just going to keep doing war. Mm-hmm. So that's no way to run a railroad, dude.
So let me ask you, like, because I, you know, Biden's taking a lot of heat, and Biden administration taking a lot of heat for this. People calling him Genocide Joe and stuff like that. Like you say, like, oh, they're giving lip service to trying to keep them from doing this, but like, how much control do they actually have over it if they decided to exercise said control? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it a situation where they could be like, they could put their foot down and be like, no, stop. And Israel would have to stop outside of like the threat of us starting our own war with them or something, or, you know, cause that Joe Biden's not the president of fucking Israel, you know?
Right. So, right. Yeah. They could, we could stop sending weapons for one, but like the weapons we send are mostly like Iron Dome stuff, defensive weapons. They make their own, a lot of their offensive weapons on their own. So like, could Joe Biden make them do? No, but we could, but we could stand with the rest of the international community trying to call them to stop. But instead, the last couple of days, it might've been today, the Biden administration vetoed a UN resolution calling for a Gaza ceasefire, but instead wanted to pass a 6-week pause, which I'm
how is that different?
right. Just stand with the rest of the world and be like, this don't hit, cut it out. This will be close to your heart. This is mm-hmm. your home state of Tennessee. A new bill could ban the sale of refrigerated cold beer in Tennessee.
I thought this was America, Mark. God damn it. What kind of big government bullshit is this? A grown, taxpaying, red-blooded man can't even buy a cold six-pack of beer if he wants to after work. What the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah, the idea of like, this was fascinating to me. We'll get to the politics of it in a second, because this is like red state Republicans doing this, obviously, because it's Tennessee. Right. But so the idea is to like get drunk driving down, because I guess if you have to wait 4 minutes while you drop your beer in an ice cooler before you drink it. So that anyway, but it's the second part of the bill would also allow customers to only have a certain number of drinks at a bar or restaurant unless you like produce a designated driver, which I guess they haven't heard of Uber. The bill was introduced by a couple guys, Representative Ron Gant and Senator Paul Rose. Drunk driving has always been a big issue for Rose, and Grant was the victim of a drunk driving act crash 2 years ago. A driver crossed against the median, hit him head on. He was airlifted and hospitalized for weeks with 14 broken bones. So it's just another example of Republicans noticing an issue when it happens to them personally. Mm-hmm. This part was funny for me. Ron Gant has been was at one point named recipient of the Defender of Limited Government Award by the Institute of Legislative Analysis. So the small government guys, we got to stop gas stations from having refrigerators.
Yeah.
So I'm old enough to remember, like, Virginia, where I'm from, drunk driving was pretty much legal until 1984. And when they outlawed it, It did not hit for my dad and his friends.
Of course not.
And this was largely seen as liberal nanny state bullshit.
Yeah.
Now, to be clear, we here at Weekly Skews are anti-drunk driving.
Of course.
Nobody should do it. All right. But I just like this doesn't feel like it's going to do anything, even if it passes, except really.
No, it's people. Not. But, yeah. This is one of those times where, like, and it's usually with shit like this where I feel more Republican than Republicans, I guess. Because again, my take on this, like I said, is like, ain't this America? What happened to fucking personal freedom? What the fuck are we doing here? You know, it's like you said, it's not going to change. I know, because I was a server and a bar back and part-time bartender and shit for years. You have to get an ABC license, right? And there's already rules in place for serving drunk people, and people just break those rules. And it's like, if there's like a hard cap on the number of drinks you can have, which doesn't make any sense, by the way, because the amount of drinks that you can have versus the amount of drinks that my wife can have is vastly different, right?
Yeah.
So, but even if you do that, you're still going to have regulars in bars, and that's just going to get ignored. It's not going to fucking change anything. It is just some nanny state bullshit. And it's like, it always reminds me of, and I know I've told this story before, but it's been a long time. But at my old day job, I was at a training exercise one day, and it was like about laws, state level laws or something, because I work for the federal government. And they were like, a hypothetical scenario. If the state of Tennessee passed a new law that said it was illegal to smoke cigarettes outside, what would be your response to that? And immediately I put my hand up and I was like, I thought this was America. What the fuck is that supposed to be? I'm an adult, you know, like, and this super conservative Christian lady who I worked with, who I actually really liked a lot, but we used to argue about politics all the time. She was sitting in front of me in the class. And when I said that, I was like, I thought this was America. She turned around and looked at me and she goes, classic liberal. That's what she said. And I was like, no, that's the most conservative shit you've ever heard me say. Right. But like, you are a good church going, you don't smoke. That's all this comes down to. You don't smoke. So you interpret anything that a known liberal says as being liberal bullshit, when really I'm representing your ostensible side of the fence right here. Cause this is bullshit. Cause I've always kind of, I'm kind of a like personal accountability, responsibility type of person. That old, that Mark Twain quote, which may not really be Mark Twain, like 80% of Mark Twain quotes ain't even from Mark Twain, where he said, like, I think he was talking about censorship, but it applies here. He was like, censorship is telling a grown man he cannot enjoy a steak because a baby is unable to chew it. Mm-hmm. And I buy into that, man. You're an adult, you live in this country, you pay your taxes, you have the right to choose whether you fucking drink yourself to death or not, and the beer can be cold. That don't extend to driving drunk, because that affects other people, right?
Right.
So I'm obviously very against drunk driving. I'm just saying, this is some horse shit. It's some blue law church state horse shit, and I don't like it.
So when I moved, like, Virginia, I didn't even know America still had dry counties, because I lived in Virginia my whole life till I moved to Texas. And then I moved to Texas, it was like, oh, you can't buy, there's no booze here because it's a dry part of town. I'm like, it's dry county. I'm like, what? I was like, so wait, because religious people run this state, I have to drive 20 minutes to buy liquor, but I can do 85 miles an hour and take a loaded gun when I go.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, okay, whatever we're doing here. While we're on Tennessee, I briefly wanted to mention Tim Burchett, our old asshole / returning hero Republican congressman from Tennessee, is going to get sued because after the Kansas City Super Bowl parade shooting last week, it wasn't just him, but he was one of the main ones, tweeted a photo of a guy the cops had in handcuffs and said, labeled this guy the shooter, and also said he was a migrant. All right. Was not the shooter. Also, was not a migrant, if that matters. It's a guy, good old red-blooded American by the name of Denton Loudermill. And he's going to sue, of course, because Burchett could have gotten him fucking killed by lying. Mm-hmm. And I just want to quote a friend of the show, State Rep Gloria Johnson here. Imagine how this could affect your life, endanger your family. These folks are so quick to believe anything that confirms their bias, they don't even care about trying to be factual. Thank you, Gloria, for a new log line to the show. That pretty much sums up everything we do here. And anyway, vote for Gloria. She's running against Marsha Blackburn. She rules. Marsha Blackburn don't. So there we go.
Yeah, it's like there was a, after the Boston Marathon bombing, Reddit was on the case, and they falsely identified someone as being the bomber, and, you know, because they're not detectives or federal agents or any of that stuff, they're internet neckbeards, and it ruined that person's life, you know, because this shit has massive implications, and it's almost like there's, you know, something to the idea of due process and actual subject matter experts and things of that nature trying to, you know, decipher the actual root causes of these situations. And we shouldn't just kneel before the hive mind, you know, just because it fits your narrative.
You can just wait for actual information. You can do that. Yeah.
But Mark, everybody's impatient now, you know, it's not, you gotta be, fuck being right. You gotta be first. You know, being first is the thing that matters the most.
First to establish the narrative for whatever your political tribe is, regardless of any sort of basis in fact or reality.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Creating reality.
Facts and reality don't hit. Everybody knows it. All right. Well, let's get into it. Producer Matt is with us doing his thing back there behind the scenes. This is Weekly Skews. I want to remind y'all before we continue of a few items of business. Number one, if you'd like to see me perform stand-up comedy live, and you should, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. I'll be in Indianapolis at Helium Comedy Club next weekend. Then we got Virginia, D.C., Vancouver, Seattle, Richmond, Virginia Beach, Pittsburgh, and a lot more coming up in the near future. So go to treycrowder.com, check it out, come and see me. Also on treycrowder.com, you can find a link to me and Corey's book, Round Here and Over Yonder, a front porch travel guide. It's a funny romp across these 50 U.S. states and also England and Scotland. So check that out. And lastly, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. You can go to weeklyskews.com/more, or you can just go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes, like the one we recorded last week. We do two a month. We cover things we don't have time to get to in the main show, or things that happen in between, or just stuff we want to talk about. It's a lot of fun. If you like this show, you'll like that show, because it's basically this show. So sign up, get some more skews in your life, and support the show in the process. We appreciate you. Now, as for tonight, got some big breaking news for y'all. Russian space nukes. That's right. Have you heard the news? Duck and cover. Everybody stop, drop, and roll. They're putting nukes in space. Sounds like a job for Space Force to me. But anyway, how much is there to really worry about here? We'll talk about all that a little later, but we got plenty of other stuff to get through. In the meantime, starting with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, women for thinking they need rights when what they really need is to be treated like troops on an airplane. This is Ohio GOP Senate candidate Bernie Moreno.
What changes would you support regarding reproductive rights or abortion as a U.S. senator?
My daughter just took a flight to go back home to where she lives. You know, mom carrying what looks like an F1 team worth of equipment. People helped her on that plane. Helped put the stroller away, helped her with her seat, gave up her seat. Those are the kinds of things that we can do. Let's be a pro-mom, pro-family policy.
What changes?
Right. So it's been a while since Dodd overturned Roe v. Wade, and they still have no fucking answer. I mean, they don't want to say what they want to do. But anyway, if you're wondering who Bernie Moreno is, a car dealership owner, who's an American success story in the sense that he's being sued by his former business partner for ripping him off. His son-in-law is a Republican congressman named Max Miller, who we talked about before. So maybe his daughter is flying back to D.C. to help Max take away more women's rights. But Bernie's got the Trump endorsement, so I imagine he's got a leg up in this three-way race. We haven't talked about reproductive rights in a while. I just wanted to mention this because a lot of stuff's getting... People are bored with it like it's old news, even though it's still driving a lot of voters. Meet the Press this weekend, they talked about this story, but NBC News confirmed reports that Trump proudly supports a 16-week national abortion ban. And the NPR reporter on that segment said, Trump is acting like a normal politician. He's trying to move to the center on abortion for a general election. And I'm sorry, but like a national abortion ban that would take away rights from women in 23 states that currently have them is not moving to the center on abortion.
Right. Well, that's sort of the whole thing with our political dynamic in this country right now, right? The Overton window, right? That's what they call it. Like, it's shifted so far to the right, it's insane. Like, there's, like, right-wing parties and stuff in Europe that would qualify as, like, you know, commie leftist horse shit over here. Like our standard politically is so far to the right that that counts as being moderate when of course it isn't.
Right. America is a governmentally anyway, is a deeply right wing country. We just don't think of it though. So yeah, we don't think of everything that way. But so this other report from this past week, Trump allies prepare to infuse Christian nationalism in second administration. Basically it's talking about the views, the guys that Trump has put in charge of Project 2025. And what they actually believe. And by the way, they call themselves Christian nationalists. Their agenda includes overturning same-sex marriage, ending abortion, and reducing access to contraceptives, ending sex ed in schools, ending surrogacy, and ending no-fault divorce throughout the country. So basically, women will be property. And all the gay dudes have to get a woman as property.
Also, ending sex education in schools, like, I mean, look, I'm from the South. I know this isn't anything new, but it's just such a wild stance to take. Like, they think if they don't talk about sex and health class to teenagers, then fucking hormone-ridden teenagers aren't going to try to figure it out on their own. It's just such a head-in-the-sand approach to the whole thing. It's like, everybody knows that the whole abstinence-only education thing does not work. Teenagers going to be teenagers. They going to pork. It's what they do. You should at least try to educate them as much as possible on the implications, the dangers and consequences of said porking. Seems like a common sense approach to governance to me, but apparently they don't see it that way.
Yeah. But the the birth rate's declining, especially the white American birth rates. You got to get teen pregnancy rates back up, I guess is the goal. So this happened on CNN today. So I'm not sure how you're supposed to like run a campaign in this kind of media environment where it's just like people just get on TV and say shit, like a national abortion ban is like moving to the center. So, but the Biden administration's plan to fight back against it, and it's outlined pretty hilariously by this reporter. It's Joe Biden's plan to be more entertaining, I guess, by bank shotting off Trump.
Yeah, Brianna, what we've learned is that President Biden himself personally instructed some of his top campaign aides to be even more aggressive in highlighting some of President Trump's more inflammatory and wild comments. We are told that the thrust of the president's direction was to significantly ramp up the campaign's efforts to highlight the crazy shit that Trump says
in public. All right. So he's got CNN reporters saying shit on live TV.
I mean, like, how else are you supposed to put it? You know what I mean? Seems like a pretty good call to me. I feel like this is something people have been calling for a while. Like, for a long time, the Biden administration's general position was to, like, not even acknowledge Trump, right? Like, right, not even talk about him as much as possible. It's like, no, talk about how crazy all the shit he says is.
His supporters and the stuff they want to do, because it's so far out there. Like, I don't think the average voter understands how deeply weird these motherfuckers are. Like this. Okay. Let's talk about this case in Alabama. So the Alabama Supreme Court just ruled that frozen embryos are children and cited the Bible in the opinion. Now these are movement conservatives. It's not some fringe outliers. These guys don't just hop off and make decisions. This is where the National Party is moving. All right. Mm-hmm. So the details of this case are wild. So basically, to get to the point, the case that decided that that frozen embryos are legally people in Alabama, a patient next door to this fertility clinic at like a connected health facility wandered into the fertility clinic and where all these embryos were stored and dropped several containers. So this one random patient, Mr. Beaned,
right
into a laboratory and dumped a bunch of frozen embryos on the floor, and they were destroyed. Three couples whose embryos were destroyed sued the clinic, but the judge threw out the lawsuit because the embryos were not covered under Alabama's quote wrongful death of a minor act. Now I think they were due compensation, right? Obviously, because they paid a bunch of money for in vitro fertilization, and the product of that was destroyed, and also they're probably due to be compensated for like the pain and suffering of having the treatments be wasted. Absolutely, right?
Right.
And this can't have been their intent, because what they've effectively done is made in vitro fertilization impossible in the state of Alabama going
forward. Right, because, I mean, I'm science dumb as hell, but like if you are a candidate for IVF, you need IVF. You like produce a number of embryos, right? Like not just one, it's not a one shot thing. And so obviously you're not going to use all of them. And so in the state of Alabama's opinion, now all those other embryos in the process, you know, they count as real life human beings. So you'd be murdering all those if you didn't carry all of them to term. And the only, the only possible approach to that is to just not have the process be legal at all. So there's going to be a lot of, you know, good God-fearing Alabamians who just have fertility problems, who want desperately to have a nice Christian nuclear family, who are not going to be able to do that because of this.
Right. So like I saw a number like again, this is the pro-life, this is essentially the pro-life position, is that a bunch of people can't have, it shouldn't be allowed to have kids if they need scientific help with it. One estimate aside, I didn't realize the number was this high, even though I know a bunch of people who've had fertility treatments to have kids. But this number I read, like, it's just one place, but said 15% of people need fertility treatments to help having kids. That's a significant, that's one in six couples need some help.
Now, while people are waiting longer and longer to have kids for economic reasons, because, like, you're just not in a position to do it when you're fucking 22 anymore, generally speaking.
Right. Lifestyle reasons. Just because they want to,
Society works and, like, but the biological truth of the matter is, when you do that, when you get into your 30s and whatnot, it becomes harder, oftentimes significantly harder, to conceive. And so it leaves more and more people needing to, you know, employ these types of mechanisms, which is fine, should be fine, but, you know, not according to Alabama, I guess.
All right. And right wing media is doing nonstop stories about the drop in male sperm count. And, like, presumably the men of Alabama have the same low sperm counts from, like, tight underwear and the chemicals in the water turn their frogs gay that the rest of us do. Right. But I don't really understand what they think. This is just deeply fucking silly, irresponsible people in charge of everything. And I want to read here from the Chief Justice's concurrence. In summary, the theological-based view of the sanctity of life adopted by the people of Alabama encompasses the following. God made every person in his image, as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Each person, therefore, has a value that far exceeds the ability of humans to calculate, and three, human life cannot wrongfully be destroyed without incurring the wrath of a holy God who views the destruction of his image as an affront to himself. So remember, this is the
founding fathers who, like, you know, came up with the idea of separation in church and state, would love for a state Supreme Court to be invoking the glory of holy God or whatever in their opinions. It's
wild. But every life being in the image of God, it reminded, we did a whole episode about this, a bonus episode a couple weeks ago about the death penalty in Alabama, but this is the state that just became the first jurisdiction in history to execute someone via nitrogen hypoxia, where it took 22 minutes for this guy to choke to death. And he's saying human life cannot be wrongfully destroyed without incurring the wrath of a holy God. But downstream from this, like, talking about how they don't understand the implications of their own decisions in their own words, if every frozen embryo has the same rights as a child, doesn't that mean that the embryos that don't get implanted have a right to be implanted? And if so, where do you find those uteruses? Are you going to draft to find surrogates? Because they're also trying to outlaw surrogacy. Like, if you go get IVF and it makes 10 embryos, they plant three the first go, one of them takes, you got seven left. You have to have seven more fucking children. You know, like, what the, like, this is absolutely insane. And if you need more evidence for what these freaks actually want, a new abortion bill in Oklahoma would also restrict contraceptives, IUDs, and create a statewide abortion database. They want to put women on a list who've gotten abortions. It's also, they're going to put a lot of contraceptives. They're currently available over the counter to needing physician approval. And they seem to think that these people hate IUDs for reasons I can't even really get to the bottom of. They seem to think that IUDs cause abortions, which doesn't make any sort of sense. But
whatever. Well, isn't their whole thing, I mean, the hardcore fundamentalists, isn't their whole thing that, like, sex is only supposed to result in procreation? Like, if you're not having sex with the intended result of having a baby, then it's a sin or something, even if you're married. Like, don't believe in birth control, period. I mean, I dated a girl in high school who was, like, a hardcore old style Catholic, and they didn't believe in birth control. And that's the reason why, right? Like, you ain't ready to have a baby, you can't be banging.
Sure. But, like, IUDs and birth control, like, I used to do this joke in my act, but, like, it's like, even calling it birth control is sort of proof that a man named it, because it does so much other stuff, like reducing the risk of breast cancer and making your cycle more regular and less, it's like, oh, but you're saying the main thing is we don't have to pull out, right? That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Right.
It is pretty sweet. I can't imagine like going to bat for, you know, opposing that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like these Christian conservatives want to outlaw porn and stuff. Like, there's got to be some redneck old boys who love Trump who still hear this stuff. And they're like, hold on, buddy. Let's rein it in a few notches. God damn.
They're taking away your cold beer. They're taking away your unprotected sex.
Yeah. Right. Liberals want you to have cold beer and unprotected sex. That's our whole thing.
Put it on a bumper sticker.
Come on over to the dark side. Mm-hmm. All right. Our honorable mention for Daily Dumbass is Joe Biden for not rolling out his own line of Reebok pumps. That's right. I don't know if y'all have seen this, but exciting news from Trump world.
I can seriously see those, but nobody merchandises like Donald Trump does. There is nobody who can move merch like Donald Trump. I've never seen any Joe Biden merchandise anywhere. Nikki Haley has tried it. She has failed. Donald Trump knows what he's doing. And if we want to talk about connecting with young people, maybe not the worst idea in the world.
Right.
Connected with the young people with the ugliest fucking sneaker. Like, I actually go back and forth on whether these are hideous or not. Like, I could, like, if they weren't Trump affiliated, I saw somebody who wasn't me wearing them, I'll be like, oh, those are fucking sweet, right? But they are Trump affiliated. And Matt, if you pull up the still image, I want people to get a close look at this sneaker before I tell you how much they fucking cost, because it's insane. These are the Never Surrender High Tops, and Trump was selling them for $399. I will give them this, though. They were better than Kobe's last Adidas shoe. If you remember this, Trey, in 2001.
That is the Tesla truck. What's it? Cybertruck. That is the Cybertruck of sneakers right there. That's truly unfortunate.
So Trump went to SneakerCon in Philadelphia to roll this out. And I have no idea why he thought going, like, the kind of people that go to sneaker conventions.
Right.
Are like younger, hip. Yeah. They're hype
beasts. Really they're not really into going to love Donald Trump. I don't think so.
Some people did cheer, but overall, this is what the general reaction sounded like. If you have this video, Matt.
Wow, a lot of emotion. There's a lot of emotion in this room. Thank you.
All right, you cut it back. So let me quote here from a Philadelphia author by the name of Kim Kelly. I don't know why he thought this would go well for him. Philadelphians would literally boo God.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, that is not untrue. You know, you're a Dallas Cowboys fans. You know, the Philly, they will boo him. They famously threw batteries at Santa Claus and stuff. They wild up there.
I know the Eagles season didn't end well this year, but they were booing them at halftime for being down a touchdown when they were 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
like Jesus Christ, what do you people want? So as far as the actual sneakers, there are 1,000 pairs. They said they're gonna make 1,000 pairs total, and they sold out. So that means he sold, you know, made $400,000 back, or the company selling the shoes did a $350 million judgment last week. 10 of these were autographed. As of Monday morning, more than 30 pairs were listed on eBay for thousands of dollars. At least 50 pairs appear to have already been sold on eBay, though there's no way to know if all the sales are authentic. And there's also knockoffs. There's a similar pair of high tops listed on Temu for $18 right now. On Reddit, some users suggested it'd be easy to manipulate the pair to look like Trump's. There's also like it's Louis Vuitton angle here, where I guess Louis Vuitton owns like the trademark is having a red sole in the sneaker for a shoe that isn't red, and like
Trump
just did that. So there's so many layers of scam here that it's hard to tease out.
Yeah, I feel like I guess. Like McEnany or whatever said, if they're trying to like connect with the youth or whatever through these, I guess that makes it make some sense. But I feel like if you're talking about just making money, they'd do way better to have like Trump branded orthopedic inserts or something like that. You know what I mean? As opposed to these like hype beast high tops they've got. Just seems like the wrong demographic. Make some papaw friendly shoes, dude, and they'll rake it in. You know what I mean? It's always this and NFTs and stuff. Like, are you trying to make money or not? You know? And also what she said about, like, I don't know any Biden merch. It's like we've talked about before with yard signs and bumper stickers and shit like that. It's just like people that are going to vote for Biden generally, by and large, are just nowhere near as cultish as they are. It's not about that. It's not a pro wrestling storyline or whatever.
Right.
This is the guy I hope will keep us from the brink. That's all. It doesn't mean that I'm like, tattooing his face on my ass or whatnot, but that's that's just kind of a fundamental difference between the two. So no wonder Trump outsells everybody in merch. It's not at all surprising.
Right. Like, if you see me with a political bumper sticker on my car, I'm in the middle of driving to park on some train tracks and end it all. It's not really what I'm looking for at all. So the company making the sneakers is called 45 Footwear LLC. And they paid Trump's corp, which is CIC Ventures, which I'm assuming is Commander-in-Chief Ventures, a licensing fee. So Trump's not involved with the making or design of the sneaker at all. 45 Footwear LLC is based in Sheridan, Wyoming, at a rundown storefront in a shopping mall beside a chiropractor and a Sherwin-Williams. And the LLC that established its existence on January 31st, so just 3 weeks ago, this company began existing, and now they're pumping out sneakers. And not for nothing, when we talked about, did our episodes about the Panama Papers, we've noted this, but Wyoming has become a center of a lot of global money laundering because of their loose standards for setting up LLCs. Basically, what you do is you just have some American be your quote unquote registered agent. And they just, like, they're the face of your company in America, and they might not even know who runs the actual company. They interviewed one woman in this story who's, like, literally the registered agent for, like, 400 different companies. She just collects a check from them for being a woman in Wyoming. So I don't know who actually owns 45 Footwear. I don't know if anyone else does or if Trump even knows. But it's going to be hilarious if this is a front for, like, ISIS or the Khmer Rouge 2 or some shit.
Right.
And Trump's, like, helping them launder money. Also, like, it's not clear how many of these pairs of shoes actually existed. Some people did leave SneakerCon with them, the autographed pairs. But if you click on the link and look through the fine print, it says the shoes won't ship for another 5 months because they haven't been made yet. So when Trump claimed they sold out, he's lying. There's no stock to sell out. And also, they note on there that they're not paying the sales tax. So you're on the hook to figure out how to pay the sales tax. So if you buy these, you're making a 5-month interest-free loan to someone who is hopefully not evil, and then maybe also signing up for sales tax fraud, which is what the government killed Eric Garner for doing with Lucy cigarettes. So,
sure.
Yeah.
I feel like if you buy these, you're kind of, you know, you're signing up for the evil. You said hopefully not evil, but, you know, it's actually the opposite. It's like, really hope this money goes to something evil. Why else would you buy these?
What if it's Hamas? Yeah. It's like, remember when the people that own Hobby Lobby got caught funding ISIS?
Yeah.
Religious relics on the international black market, and turns out it was ISIS selling them. It's like, this is the kind of shit you're signing up for here.
Yeah.
International finance, man, it don't hit.
No, it don't hit. Yeah. All right. Honorable mention, Martin Luther King for writing all them letters from jail, where, of course, he ended up on account of all his speeding tickets or something. I don't know. Who can recall? Anyway.
Is Donald Trump at risk of being America's first real political prisoner?
Yeah. This might be the clip that drove me fucking insane. All right. Like, if you just look through, like, the recent news, the protesters locked up for in the Atlanta Cop City shit for right. just hanging posters and having poetry nights on RICO charges. Just a short list off the top of my head, Leonard Peltier, the AIM, members of AIM who occupied Wounded Knee in the 70s. Peltier and the people at Wounded Knee did stuff. Like, Peltier said he did actually shoot the FBI agents, but he was involved in the shootout. But anyway, then you got people who are actually innocent, like Sacco and Vanzetti, or who are probably innocent, and then, like, the Chicago 7,
yeah.
who were tried for a crime that didn't even fucking happen.
Right.
This comes after Trump, like, finally spoke about Alexei Navalny, who died in a Russian prison a few days ago, and mm-hmm. he did so in order to compare himself to Navalny as a political prisoner. And not that I need to say this out loud, but Navalny was just in prison for just being politically active under charges that were labeled quote-unquote extremism. He wasn't fined a bunch of money for lying to banks. Those aren't similar things at all. And because we're going to talk about Russia in a minute, I wanted to, like, talk about Navalny, because, like, people get flattened into, like, trading cards when they die, yep. and in a way that sort of bugs me. And, like, people can be multiple things, all right? Navalny was brave. He mm-hmm. flew home to Russia knowing they were going to lock him up to make a point. That's
right.
true.
Right.
His entry point to politics was basically as an investor. He noticed that he wasn't seeing the profits he should be seeing, so he got interested in corruption. And standing up to the Russian government took a lot of bravery. Also, he marched with Nazis. He said a bunch of racist shit. And I know I'm the person has to be like, actually, the person you think hits, doesn't it? I hate being... I know that's my fucking thing, all right? I'm not saying... he said a bunch of... He referred to Muslims as cockroaches. He referred to Georgians as rodents when Russia was attacking Georgia back in 2008. He did later apologize for that. And he softened his rhetoric about, like, you know, various minorities later in life. And his defense for marching with Nazis, where you need a broad coalition to defeat Vladimir Putin. And sure. I get that. But you don't have to pretend, like, okay, the racism against Georgians. I don't know anything about life in Russia. But it reminded me of a couple of days ago when some, I forget where we're talking about racism in France or French racial epithets. And I was like, I wonder what French racial epithets are. And one of them was for British people. And it's because they eat a lot of roast beef. The racial slur for British people is literally roast beef.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm just thinking about how like other people's racism seems stupid and made up. Right. Whereas ours makes sense. And it's baked. It's just like, it's also.
I just always wonder how impactful those particular slurs are. Like if I went to France, they don't know anything about Tennessee, but if they were like, oh, what's up, sweet tea? You know, like if they called me sweet tea. Like, I would be like, well, you seem to have a shitty attitude, but I'm not upset at the words you called me, though. But yeah, that Navalny stuff, it's so funny because, like you said, for people, you know, if y'all don't know, you should know if you've watched this show enough, but it's like a running joke in our friend group that Mark is the guy who ruins things and people for you. Like, if you got somebody hits for you, he's like, you know, actually, he was a huge racist, right? Like, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's funny you're doing this with Navalny because I was on the Young Turks like on Friday. We're talking about Navalny and I really jerked him off for his bravery, dude. I didn't know any of this Nazi stuff or whatever. I was like, look, dude, fucking I get nervous talking shit in my car about the lunatics in this country. You know what I mean? I can't imagine the stakes being this high. Like he walked the walk and paid for it. But it's like you said, both things can be true. But yeah. I didn't know he did Nazi shit and was super racist, but, you know, you'll have that, I suppose.
Dude. So
thanks for bringing that to my attention.
Russia's a crazy place.
It's a crazy place. Dude. So the good guys over there are super racist.
I'm not judging him
for
his anti-Georgian racism.
Maybe. Yeah, we don't know Georgians. I mean, as a Tennessean, our Georgians are suspect. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so, you know, what are you going to do?
Go Vols. Fuck the dogs. Right?
Yeah. All right. Let's keep talking about Russia. They're expanding their ventures into orbit, Mark.
All right. So last week, there was like a two-day panic. It's still sort of ongoing because there were Mike Turner, the Republican chair of one of the House Intel Committees, of the House Intel Committee, called for the Biden administration to declassify some information related to a Russian weapon in space. And then everybody was off and running. And then let's look at some ABC News's breathless straight news coverage of this and how afraid should we all be, but said it in a tone of voice that guy's very, very afraid.
Turned out to the chaos and alarm on Capitol Hill today after cryptic words over Russia and a potential nuclear threat in space. The Republican head of the House Intelligence Committee catching Americans off guard, suggesting there is a serious national security threat even before a scheduled briefing tomorrow with the White House. So tonight here, what is this threat? As the Republican House Speaker then said today, there's no reason for panic. Mary Bruce at the White House.
There's no
tonight that cryptic warning from the Republican chairman.
Is it, you stay cut, Matt? There's no reason to panic. That guy sounds like the most panicked motherfucker I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. This is one of those things where I wish people would be less paranoid and more skeptical. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, how can you walk around being like, I don't trust like Russian space nukes to the point where I'm scared we're all going to die, but I'm going to take this one member of Congress's word for it that we should all be very afraid. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I feel like before the whole Ukraine thing, which is a wild way to phrase that, I suppose, but before the whole Ukraine thing, like there was this sort of, you know, this trepidation in America about Russia being this like sleeping giant, militarily speaking, like, oh, you don't want that smoke from Russia. You know what I mean? Like they still like war wise, you don't want to fuck with Russia. Right. Was like a conceit that I feel like a lot of the Western world held. And then I feel like since the Ukraine situation, one of the worst things that I feel like that's happened to Russia PR wise, it's kind of exposed that as being horse shit. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. They've exposed their own like incompetency and, you know, basement tier level of military operations in a lot of places. So I feel like now hearing them talk about we have nukes in space, you know what I mean? It's like hearing North Korea threatened to blow up the moon or something.
Right.
They're always saber rattling and saying wild shit. And if you heard North Korea say they're going to blow up the moon, I don't think anybody in this country would genuinely panic, even though we do love the moon and we own the moon. We claim the moon in 1969. Mm-hmm. It's our moon. It's not their moon. It's our moon. We don't want it to get blown up by them. But like, mm-hmm. if they said that, we wouldn't be worried about them blowing up the moon, you know?
Right.
I feel like it's a similar type of thing, or should be.
It's like, it's a very famous speech, but you haven't seen a Dwight Eisenhower's speech leaving office about the military industrial complex. Mm-hmm. I feel like every American should be required to watch it like twice a year. Because like, if there's not an enemy, you got to make one up, right? And yet, Russia has nukes. It's not like we should provoke them or anything. But also like, I would have thought when their tanks fell apart and were rusty trying to drive it into Ukraine, it'd have been like, okay, I see what's happening here. But like, so how this all came about. So Mike Turner, the chair of the House Intel Committee, he's normally not a crank by 2024 Republican standards. His main thing is just normal corruption. Like his ex-wife is a lobbyist and his net worth has gone up like tenfold but since he's been in his office. And in 2008 and 2010, Turner was listed as one of the most corrupt members of Congress by Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. So if you wonder what's actually going on, Turner seems to be up to two things. Maybe three, because he is for getting more aid to Ukraine. So saber rattling about Russia could be part of that. But also one of the things Congress is fighting right now is trying to figure out whether or not to reauthorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which expires in April. He might be trying to make people afraid of national security threats to pass that. And he also might just, because he's a Republican, might be trying to imply that, you know, the Biden administration is unprepared for some big new threat or whatever. Section 702, if you're not familiar with it, is one of those Patriot Act like things that like lets the NSA watch us all pee. What it actually does, it permits the NSA to acquire the communications of pretty much any foreigner abroad without getting an individualized court order. And the issue with that, if you care, is a lot of Americans talk to people overseas. So if you email somebody overseas, the federal government can read your email or listen to your calls and read your text messages without having to do anything.
Man, I just have been living under the assumption that they're totally doing that anyway, if they have the intention to in the first place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sections, whatever, aside. Like, the NSA, you know, they'd be listening if they want to listen.
Yeah, but at least if there's a law that doesn't authorize it, when they get caught doing it, they get in trouble.
It's a problem. Right.
Yeah. You're right. But like this information comes to the Brennan Center for Justice. You want to talk about what they've been caught doing. The FBI conducted warrantless searches in Section 702 acquired information to access communications of Black Lives Matter protesters, U.S. government officials, journalists, political commentators, and 19,000 donors to a single congressional campaign. So I don't even know, like there might not have been a foreign person involved in that. They just scooped it all up. Some people, of course, because Americans still has some civil libertarians want to reform this law, but Joe Biden and Mike Turner do not. They think it's fine the way it is. And I do want to say, like, I get why every executive branch wants as much power as it can get, because that's the way the system's supposed to work. The branches are supposed to fight each other over it. But also, I wish Democratic presidents wouldn't try to accrue all this power for an executive branch they're going to have to hand over to Donald fucking Trump, you know?
Right.
So that's the context of this political fight. So maybe why Mike Turner called for everybody. Because when he called for everybody to be released, the other gang of eight people in Congress who were read in on this and the executive branch, the Biden administration, were all like, what? Why now? What the hell? What's happening now that makes this, you know, because it didn't make any sort of sense to anybody who has read in on it. Let's talk about the weapon itself. The basic story is Russia may be thinking of putting nuclear weapons into orbit, or maybe it's just nuclear powered. It's probably like an EMP related thing, is a nuclear blast makes an electromagnetic pulse and would disable our satellites, which is a normal thing you would kind of expect anybody who might face American military threat to be trying to figure out the capability to do, because that's one of our big advantages is like, you know, smart bombs and very well targeted missiles with GPS abilities, like, and also international, like communications rapidly world round. And I'm sure we have, that's normal in the game type stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's nothing to panic about. It's like the Russian government wants to protect the interests of the Russian government. Like they want to be able to counterbalance our strengths. That's baked into all this fucking, pissing contest, international relations bullshit. So like freaking out about it sounds like, are you born yesterday? You know?
Right. But let me ask you this part of it though. Like politically speaking, like this guy, Mike Turner, Republican guy, like you say, is not a crank by 2024 standards, but this is like Republicans currently pushing this narrative, right? That we should be worried about this Russian space nuke. And I'm just saying, cause I gotten the impression recently that they were all like kind of on board with Russia. You know, they didn't want to fund Ukraine. They think Putin's strong. Trump thinks Putin's strong. Tucker just went over there and got back and whatnot. So how does that all factor in?
I don't think they care about anything in real. I think what they care about is being able to go on TV and say Joe Biden is a huge pussy.
Is weak on something. Right. Yeah.
Right. So I wouldn't even worry about what they actually think because it doesn't fucking matter. But the main takeaway is like most of the articles about Turner's assessment of our impending nuclear doom probably should not have been written. It was just like a bunch of panic about nothing. And to the degree, you know, this is real. What actually happened apparently is the Biden administration says they were working behind the scenes to try to talk Russia out of launching this weapon, which are just in the testing phase of. And this might have blown up all that back channel stuff. So if it has any effect on our national security, it probably made us all a little bit more in danger to the degree that anyone would ever pull the trigger on this. If you're that worried about Russia blowing up a satellite to let you get Uber Eats, I don't know. This is like we've been playing this game like since the 1950s, where we exaggerate Russia's military threat and then panic about it.
Right. Now,
a lot of politicians got very powerful off this. A lot of weapons contractors got very rich off of it. I told you I rewatched the Good Shepherd recently, and they're like not to get into the 60s origin of the CIA details of the whole movie. Matt Damon movie, it's a good movie. But like there's a scene where a Russian comes in from the cold trying to convince Matt Damon he is who he says he is. They get him high on LSD to try to get the truth out of him. And he says, you're basically imagining Russia's a big threat. Russia's a dead, bloated cow. But he jumps out of a window. Spoiler alert for a movie that came out in 2006 or whatever. So anyway, like we've been doing this forever. Like we thought they were an impending threat to our doom until the moment they just absolutely stopped existing because they were so weak.
Right.
And frail. And now, we'll talk about their actual weapons programs in a minute, but like how this filters through like the right wing audience. Here's a headline from Newsmax: Biden weakness causing Russian space dominance. Space dominance. A country where 20% of people don't have indoor plumbing. We're talking about them having space dominance. All right.
Yeah.
And to get back to the reality of this for a second, what's the movie where is it Goldeneye where Russia has the satellite laser that could destroy whole cities or whatever, the Bond movie? Like people think that's real, I guess. I don't know. But to talk about the recent history of Russian super weapons. So in 2018, Vladimir Putin announced in a presentation of big fancy graphics, three new super weapons, a drone submarine that he claimed could inundate the U.S. eastern seaboard with a radioactive tsunami. All right. A nuclear-powered cruise missile, basically called the Burevestnik, that can circle the Earth perpetually because it's nuclear-powered. We'll never have to come down until they ordered it to actually strike something. Now, think about how that would go if Russia launched that. They would not launch that. That would be seen as a first attack, and they would get fucking nuked. All right. The third program was a hypersonic missile, which would obviously go too fast for us to shoot it down, would deliver nuclear payload. The first thing, the tsunami nuclear sub drone, that's just cartoon bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
No one thinks that you could actually make a tsunami by setting off a nuke under the eastern seaboard. But he did convince like Kim Jong-un to start his own program, trying to make one of those. So good.
Right. It does sound pretty cool. I can't imagine him sitting around the table and he hears like they got nuclear tsunamis now. And he's like, oh, I want one of those. That's an exciting new toy.
I'd want it.
Yeah.
So it's the nuclear powered cruise missile, the Burevestnik. They tried to test some version of it in 2019, and it fell into the White Sea, and it killed seven scientists. And they went to try to retrieve it because it was spewing out like fission materials. Right.
Right.
The third, I'm sorry to let my reality intrude on everyone's panic. Americans love panicking over shit like this. And now we're talking about the supersonic missile. To the degree it actually exists at all, Ukraine now rarely shoots down one version of that missile called the Kinzhal, and the other one, the Zircon missile. They tried to fire it into Ukraine, and it crashed after the controllers could not steer it.
Right.
Going back to the first one, the Kinzhal, when they got shot down so easily, instead of like Vladimir Putin being like, I actually lied or actually not saying anything, he actually just arrested the scientist who made it and sent them to work camps.
Yeah.
Rather than admit he was just bullshitting about the capabilities of his made up fucking super weapon. So,
right. So I'm not saying, they've kind of exposed themselves, Russia, as being like the wily coyote of the, you know, of the global geopolitical landscape or whatever. Like, they just got all these like big fucking Acme traps and stuff. They're putting together these big elaborate plans that just blow up in their face or fail miserably, and the Roadrunner just keeps on beep beeping.
I mean, look, we got Dolphin submarine mine detectors. We got those actually work. We also have like the DARPA trying to make weather machines, and we got like the guys who took LSD and tried to do telepathy with goats and move stuff with their minds and for the army. Like, it's not like everybody does this harebrained shit. You know, the Nazis try to do witchcraft. Like, it's like everybody's trying to get a leg up on everybody,
right?
Including Russia trying to make a device that would take out our satellites, because that's what you'd want to do if you got in a shooting war with America. And we're always talking about getting shooting wars with everybody. And I'm like, we got guns, they got guns, everybody got guns. Don't worry. Like, this is the world. Sorry. I don't know. It's just what it is.
Yep. So what you're saying is, Mark, we don't need to build new space nuke bunkers. We don't need to build elaborate bunkers in our backyard, stock them full of potted meat and whatnot.
Dude, my wife has the worst sense of direction in the world, and she refuses. Like, she once asked me what direction North Hollywood was from Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Now, I would not ask that question, but if I was like in Hollywood, I would have no capacity to tell you which way North Hollywood was from Hollywood. You know what I mean? I know, but what I'm saying is, if we were standing in Hollywood and you're like, which way is North Hollywood? Never in a million years could I tell you which way. You know,
we went to the grocery store the other day. She turned the wrong direction coming out of the Ralph's because that's the direction we had come from, because we made another stop. And I was like, where are we going this way? We live that way. She's like, she's going back the way we got there. I'm like, what the? Anyway, my point is, like, she refuses to learn, and she acts like I'm mansplaining when I do that kind of thing, which maybe I'm a little bit, but also you should know how to get around in case Russia sets off an EMP in space and your GPS doesn't work. I will literally never see my wife again.
Yeah.
If Vladimir Putin takes out our GPS.
You'll never see me again either, buddy. I can tell you that right now. I'm with Aaron on that one. I'm so map dumb. All right, Matt. All right,
this is a woman who once had a plan to get up at sunrise and go down to Santa Monica and to watch the sun rise over the Pacific Ocean.
Well, that's awfully cute. That's adorable. The Roan on YouTube says, hit that like button. Thank you, The Roan. Yes, as always, I forgot. Hit the like button, share, subscribe, all that stuff. We appreciate it. Darkly Yours says, wait, do we own the moon? Hell yeah. You see any other flags
up
there?
Got a flag on it.
That's right.
Got a flag on it, baby.
we learned that from Daddy Britain. You know, that's the way the rules work. You put a flag, no flag, as Eddie Izzard said, no flag, no country. Can't have one. Mm-hmm. You put a flag in, that means you own it. We put a flag on the moon, that means we own it. Those are the rules that we've all just made up.
Yeah, to make sure your brother and sister couldn't have it. That's what we did with the moon, baby.
Carta on YouTube says, Putin keeps saying Russia owns Alaska and they're taking it back.
I saw somebody from the State Department asked about that, and I was going to include it in one of our dumbasses, but when I went to look at the actual source material, it was a mild mistranslation. It was like, I don't speak Russian, but off the top of my head, it was more like, they regretted selling it to us rather than going to take it back. I don't know. It doesn't.
Not on Sarah Palin's watch, baby.
He's mad somewhat about Alaska for some reason. Yeah.
Edward Westerfield on YouTube says Elon Musk wants to nuke Mars. Yeah, that was a thing, wasn't it?
I didn't see that one.
What was that about? I feel like I remember hearing that. Was it some kind of like terraforming?
That's where my brain went. Trying to terraform it. Yeah, right. I don't know.
Might as well. Hell, we got nukes. It's up there. Just shoot it a bunch. Skittlebutt Dragon Rasp, love that name, says someone should look into Russia using Elon's Skylink.
We did when Ron Farrow wrote that whole piece about like all the different, what's going on, all of Elon's different companies and how all of his boards are concerned about his drug use and his fucking unreliability and like whatever he's like. If you guys don't know what Skittlebutt Dragon Rasp is talking, Skittlebutt Dragon Rasp, so that like is a real name. I hope it is your government name. That'd be cool if you changed it. But he was basically shutting down Skylink, which Ukraine uses for internet communications and on the front lines at the request of Russia, because I don't know. So yeah, Elon, we gotta do something. Somebody should do something about him. His defense contractor, who's like completely stoned out of his mind on cocaine and ketamine 24/7, who's up tweeting until 5 a.m. And he's a defense contractor who with a ton of control over a lot of our infrastructure. So, yeah.
Keith Davies says Russia has shopping carts and fresh bread, though. Can't be mean. Yeah, Tucker went over there and marveled at the cost of groceries and stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, they get
poor.
Significantly, yeah, right. Breaking news. The groceries in a country where the wages are fucking a fifth of ours tend to be cheaper, generally speaking.
He praised them for having coin-operated grocery carts.
Right, which Aldi has.
Right. Here,
right. Yeah, it's a thing.
As an anti-homeless thing, which...
Well, it's like that... like from Arrested Development, it's like, it's a banana. How much could it cost? $10, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's that type of thing with Tucker where it's like he's marveling at that grocery store innovation, which we have had in this country for years and years now. And it belies, the fact that he don't be grocery shopping, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, Kim Cusato, longtime skewer, says, hey, Trey, tell everybody about the big live POA tomorrow. Thank you. Some cross promotion, Kim. I appreciate that. Me and Mark go live and producer Matt every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, but I'll be doing it again tomorrow night with Corey Forrester for Putting On Airs, Not Political at All, Fancy Stuff podcast. It's our 100th episode. So we're going live. It's funny because Corey's like, oh, it's a big deal. It's our 100th episode. Let's go live. And it's like, we'd be going live all the time. Me and Mark stay going live. You know what I mean? It's like, but you know, it's a.
Corey had a live, like, I guess we have him on this show, but like, I'd be like,
and he says wild shit. Yeah. Yeah. Like when we had Marcus Flowers on here or whatever, and Corey was talking about butt fucking people with apples in their mouth right before he came on, you know, to try to reach across the aisle or whatever. So,
And that's why Marcus lost to Marjorie Taylor Greene right there. Corey did it talking about butt fucking and apples.
But yes, so y'all can come back right here tomorrow night and there'll be a whole different podcast with a whole different co-host, but it'll be fun. Allison Haygood says Tucker Carlson has never, not once, done his own grocery shopping. Yeah, he's a trust fund baby, right? Also unwanted by his mother, I believe.
He's also heir to the Swanson frozen dinner fortune, yeah. I think, which is like, I wonder if he's ever eaten a Swanson frozen dinner, you think?
Right. I don't know.
Certainly once, right? You got to try it.
J&A Moore says, what time is POA? 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern tomorrow, right here. Well, I say right here, if you're watching on YouTube, we're not sure if we can do it from my YouTube and POA's YouTube. Whatever. Check on my socials. You can get a link to it. You can find it. Charles Cry says Corey is a loose cannon. Yes, he is. Indeed, he is.
See, the difference, Charles, is cannons have a purpose. Corey will never hear that. We can roast him all we want. All we want.
Christine Remick says, did you hear Russia's making a town for American conservatives to move to? I sure did hear that. And let me tell you what. I'm about to start. Yeah, right. Okay. Like that Willy Wonka meme. Oh, no, stop. Don't. Like, we'll start a super PAC right here on this show to fund their travel expenses if that's what they want. You know what I mean? I'm all for it.
They want to be oppressed so bad. Let them have some, right? Yeah,
right.
Right. It's like, I can't really make sense of what Americans think anymore. Like, everyone seems so coddled without knowing it. And then they're going to go volunteer to live in a fucking prison state. And just, I hope they all get shipped off to fight in Ukraine.
Do you think whichever American conservatives they like dupe into moving over there, do you think they'll like treat them with kid gloves for some kind of PR reason or something? Or yeah. Probably.
It'll be like during the Olympics, you know, it'll be like they'll put them in like Russia's version of Beverly Hills and give them servants and shit for a while. Well, anyway,
good. I mean, if that attracts more of them to go over there, that hits for me. Good. Keep it up. I'm all for it. All right. Thank you all for watching. Again, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates and also my book with Corey Forrester, Around Here and Over Yonder. And if you want some more SKUs in your life, go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. Regardless, the most important thing, you keep watching this here show every Tuesday night. As long as you do it, we'll keep making them. We'll see y'all next week. Love you. Bye.